Scripture lesson this morning is from Luke, the third chapter, verses 1 through 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Etruria, and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas, and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The word of God for the people of God.
You may be seated. My family is pretty active on social media. If you follow me, you see a lot of pictures of kids' birthdays, kittens, really kind of cute things that make people kind of smile. I have noticed that if I post something about, something God's doing in my life or something going on in the life of the church, and then I post a picture of a kitten, y'all will like and share the picture of the kitten. Something about kittens, man. We just need to start putting that like on all the church Facebook pages, just a picture of a kitten to kind of go along with everything. But whether it's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, I put a lot of things out there. But I think if you were to kind of go down like all my posts in a row, in some ways you might think that my family's got everything together. That, man, we take wonderful family photos. Man, we've got wonderful family dinners. We never fight. We never argue. I never get angry about the peanut butter jar on the counter. Because you're only seeing one side of the story, right? You're only seeing what I want you to see and not really the mess that kind of goes on behind the scenes. The fights, the arguments, the crying, the yelling, the parts of the mess that it's really not appropriate maybe for everybody to see, but really holds the meat of the story about what our family's really like and kind of what's really going on. So Christmas time, I've noticed, is a time where we all like to kind of put on our best faces. We like to clean the house up, invite people over, and pretend to them that we have our lives put together and that our houses always look this way. Trust us. And my family, we're kind of getting a little bit newer into the family traditions. We're a little slow in kind of amping up our holiday spirit. Just last year, we finally got a Christmas tree that's over 2 feet tall. This year, we kind of leveled up again, and we thought to ourselves, outdoor Christmas lights. This is the year this is going to happen. And so we decided, outdoor Christmas lights. Julia told me exactly what she wanted. She wanted Christmas lights on kind of the eaves of the house. And I was like, man, this is going to be great. So we got the Christmas lights, pulled out the ladder, put it up against the side of the house, started climbing up the ladder, and quickly realized that my ladder was not even half as tall as I would need it to be to get to the top of my house. I was like, man, this is not going to work. So, adapt and overcome, right? So if you can't attack it from the ground, let's attack it from the sky, right? So I take my ladder and I move it over to a low part on the roof. Climb up on the roof and figure, man, I'm going to get up on the roof. I'm just going to put these lights up, just hanging off the side of the roof. So I get up, kind of lean it up against the side, kind of climb up to the top of the ladder, do that awkward step where you kind of have to get over the gutter because you don't want to crush it with the ladder, and get up onto the roof. And it was like magic. It was like something like I'd never seen. All of a sudden, my roof, which looked rather accessible at the time, suddenly just began to raise into this unnavigable pitch that was so much more steep while on it than when I was on the ground looking at it. And I thought to myself, this is a mistake. But you ever have that time where you suddenly like realize it's a mistake, but you're like 2 minutes past being able to fix the mistake? So I thought to myself, what am I going to do? And of course, my answer was, just continue on, just go for it, just kind of go all in on this. And so I kind of got down low and tried to start getting up to the side of the roof where I needed to go, and then that's when my hands and my feet started slipping. And that kind of gravel on the roof where it starts giving out, and you're like, this isn't going to be good. And so I called out to Julia, and what was a very controlled, mature voice, and in no way high-pitched or panicky, asked her, where's the ladder, dear? And as she kind of helped me kind of navigate as well as possible to roughly where the ladder was, because again, I kind of leaned it against the house and not the roof because I didn't want to crush the gutter. I couldn't really see where the ladder was. And so I get in this precarious position where I'm kind of reaching a leg like over the gutter, like trying to like feel out where the ladder is. I get one foot on it, and then you're kind of committed, right? So then I get my other foot, and I think my foot is somewhere else on the ladder than it is, and I can't figure out my other foot, and I keep going a little bit, sliding a little bit more down the gravel. And I was like, man, no one is ever going to hear this story. But I finally get down, I get my foot on the ladder, and I climb all the way down, and I say, well, that's not going to work. So we come up with a new plan. We decide to decorate things on the bottom floor. As we use the lights, we wrap up one of the trees, and we use the rest of the lights. We kind of put them around the front window of the house, and it looks pretty good. And then kind of fast forward to yesterday afternoon, my family came over for lunch. As they pulled into the driveway, they were like, man, Arthur, your Christmas lights look great this year. You guys did a great job. And I was like, well, thank you. We decided exactly what we were going to do. We went ahead and we did it. And this is what it looks like. And then, of course, Lavender had to chime in. She was like, he was going to put him on the roof, but then he almost died. I was like, I was not going to share that part of the story, honey. And we had to have a conversation about maybe we don't have to share all of our stories to everybody. Now, this is a very small part of my life, a very just small story, but the reality is there are deeper stories and more difficult stories that I don't share, that I don't put on Facebook, that I don't talk about, and I think every single one of us have those. It's more than just embarrassing stories about getting stuck on roofs or Christmas lights, but things that go on in our lives, things that go on in our families that we don't want other people to know about, that are harder and deeper, that we struggle with time after time, behaviors and attitudes and situations that we wish we could somehow break a hold of or to get rid of. But the truth is, they're those harder parts that almost seem to try to define us more than anything else. They're the messes in our lives, the messy parts. And no matter what kind of brave face we try to put on them, no matter what kind of story we try to do to kind of bend it or take a good picture to try to kind of draw attention away from the messes in our lives, it's the messes that continue to stick with us, to haunt us. And no matter what we try to do to draw attention away from them, they seem to draw our attention to them so much more. And as we come into a season of Advent, in a season where we try to put on our best faces, even here at the church, we put up wreaths and garland, we light candles, and we try to make it look like everything is put together. The reality is that there's something about those messes that we eventually have to deal with. In our scriptures this morning, we come to a story that surprisingly has nothing to do with shepherds or angels or glowing mothers wrapped in wonderfully blue cloth holding babies in mangers. But rather, we start with a dusty prophet in a dirty wilderness being called to prepare the way of the Lord. And so our story doesn't start at the manger. Rather, it starts in the desert. It starts on the muddy banks of a river. And as John's ministry is beginning to spread throughout the area in Galilee, we kind of get this who's who of what's going on, this picture and the snapshot of the history of the geopolitical situation of who is emperor and who is governor and who the brother's governor is and who the high priest is. But it's amazing that in John's ministry, we're kind of highlighted with this who's who of the area, and yet when we learn about John, he doesn't care who anybody is. His message is still the same. It doesn't matter what your rank is. It doesn't matter what your title is. It doesn't matter what you do for the empire or for the temple. His message in his sermon is the same. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And John's message begins to spread in an incredible way, because whoever comes to see this dusty and dirty prophet on the muddy banks of the river, when they look at him, they see a mess. Wild hair, somebody who eats bugs, who buckles his clothes with a camel's belt. And even his message, that the mountains will be torn down and brought low, that the valleys will be filled in, that roads that are twisted will be made straight. There's nothing clean or anything elegant about what he's trying to say. And maybe that's the point. That he is coming to prepare the way of the Lord. He's not interested in asking us to prepare and put on our best face and to clean out our closets and to make sure that everything looks good in our lives, but rather to really dive down into those parts that we don't want to talk about, into those parts that we don't want to deal with, and those parts that we're ashamed of, that we're guilty of, that we're afraid of, the behaviors and attitudes that instead of allowing the light of God to come into the world, rather it's those parts of our lives that suppress it, that isolate it, that push us away from relationship with others and away from a relationship with God. And John says, if I have any message that I can start out with, it is this: to get rid of those messes and to deal with them now at the beginning before he comes into our lives. Because we want to feel the fullness of this hope and this peace. And if we truly have any hope that this hope and peace will grow brighter in our lives, then we have to make room for it to grow. And that begins with deep, dark looks into what's truly going on in our hearts and our lives. Again, this is the season where we try to kind of put on those best faces. We try to decorate it and we try to take the great pictures and we try to make this the best time of the year. But the truth of the matter is that the kingdom of God is calling us to look into the parts of our lives that would try to make this the worst time of the year. And to say, let's start with the mess first. Advent is a time of preparation. But it's a time of repentance as well. It's called Advent because it's the very first season of the Christian year. Last Sunday was the very first Sunday of the Christian year, and then this being the second Sunday, it's an opportunity to begin something new again. And in a chance of starting something new, if we want this year to be any different, if we want this church to be any different, if we want our families to be any different, if we want our jobs to be any different, if we want our lives to be any different, then we have to start with the one thing that we don't want to deal with. the one things that would make the most difference. Those ways that we've gotten off the path to the left or the right, the kind words that we should have said but didn't, the stances that we could have taken but were too afraid of. And we start something new. And saying that this year, I want to clean out those parts of my lives. I want to have those hard conversations. I want to repent of those sins that I've buried down and I hope nobody ever finds out about. Because it's starting off in the hope that when this light comes, brightest as it may in this world, that instead of us being a wall in which that light simply moves around, instead we are another light to it, adding to the brightness of that hope, of that peace, of that joy, and that love. That when others come into our lives, that when others bump into us, even in the grocery store, that they might see that there is something bright about our lives because it is shining so clearly, that light of Christ. So as we start with this Advent, let us start with something new. And let us start with the messes that we might experience that hope, and that peace, and that joy, and that love that is coming. As brightly and as deeply as we can, that we might share it with the entire world. As the band starts to come back forward to kind of close out our worship service today, we have an opportunity to sing our last song, to worship together, but even more than that, to begin to pray and ask what God would have us to do in this life. There's more than just the embarrassing stories that we put on online that we hope that people don't find out about or things like that, but it's the real work of shaping our lives into a way that it begins to look more like Christ in this world, that others might begin to see him and to know that this hope, this peace, this joy, and this love are so very real. And as John the Baptist said, that all people may come, that all flesh may see the salvation of God. Will you pray with me this morning? Almighty and precious God, we give you thanks. Lord, we give you thanks for your light that is coming into this world. We give you thanks that you see through us, that you see beyond the stories and the faces that we put out to this world, but you see a heart and a love and a child that needs your love and your forgiveness. And Lord, you are faithful in saying that when we come and ask for your forgiveness, Lord, that we can have it. That you allow us those second chances and those third chances and, Lord, those 20th chances to do better than we've done before. And allow this year to begin anew, that we might experience this birth and this Savior, this Messiah, this hope and this Advent in a way that we never have before, as we shape and as we pray and as we live more like you. As we do this all in Jesus' name, amen.